morning, everyone. Welcome to Glen Arbor. Glad you're here. And we're going to talk about the peace of God, which is hard to do when you're talking into a microphone, because you think the peace of God is quiet and serene and walking through fields. Peace of God has many different aspects to it, and we're going to talk about that today. So we're going to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit, and let's do that with prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you're doing in our midst. I pray that even as people are coming in, that you would be preparing our hearts to worship you, to hear what you have to say to your people, to what you want to do in our lives specifically, each one of us specifically. And I ask that you speak to us today in the music, in the teaching, in the fellowship even afterwards. Lord, that you would be unifying us in that. In your name we pray.
Sometimes we've been forgetting to announce our prayer meeting. December 2nd is our once a month, every Saturday. So once, first Saturday of the month, December 2nd. So I'm going to remind everyone of that. And I wanted to share a verse today. I read this yesterday. You all guys all remember the story of Cain and Abel? What do we remember about the story of Cain and Abel? Cain killed his brother. But I was reading Hebrews 11, and this is what it says in Hebrews 11 about Abel. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he speaks to us today, though he was dead. Though he is dead, and I realized, wow, that's an amazing thing, that what he did thousands of years ago, what did he do? He didn't know, hey, if I do this, it'll be recorded forever, and God will use it to help people understand faith in the future. Even though he's dead, something he did in putting God first, by faith, God is important, God, I'm going to put God first, I'm going to give God my best. Uses that even today. So you never know, by putting God first in your life, God can use your work and what you do and your faith to affect people in the future, just like he did today. And I was encouraged by that we never know, by putting God first in faith, he will use it forever. So that's all the announcements I have for today. Thank you for letting me share. We're going to have, this is a time in the service where we take the offering, so our ushers are going to come forward and take the offering for us today, and if your child is in Sunday school, this is a time when he can move to Sunday school, and after that, Greg will have a teaching for us.
Team, if you do not have a bulletin, Nathan is going to has bulletins with him. You will be good if you have them for this talk, and because it has an insert in it. Raise your hand, and Nathan will be happy to bring one to you. Thank you, Nathan. So I've been on a bit of a personal journey. By the way, welcome to Glen Arbor. I'm Greg Stanger, one of the pastors here. And I've been on a personal journey. And one of the things I've been really trying to get my head around, my arms around, is the experiencing the peace of God in the midst of difficult times. By nature, as my LTG partner and wife and everyone that knows me tells me, I am a driver and an anxious person at the same time. So I drive myself pretty hard. I tend to drive myself pretty hard. As I've gotten older, I found that's more difficult to do. My family and friends will tell you that. And there's been both good and bad as far as that's been good in getting things accomplished. It's been bad for my health. And it's been put me in the hospital a couple times, maybe more than once, twice or three times. So I've really been meditating on a series of songs and the verses they're based on, and we sang one of them a couple weeks ago, He Hears My Voice, when I led music a couple weeks ago. So I've been praying, and I felt like the Lord filled me, you know, I've been praying, Lord, fill me with your peace, the way these songs talk about, you know, because there's a lot of wild things going on, and the peace that surpasses understanding. As you promise, where my sleep is sweet. That and during the prayer meeting last prayer meeting, which being announced, it just hit me. I don't know why it hit me there, but it hit me there. I think I finally got a glimpse of what His peace and really His peace, His real peace, means, and when it comes, and what it's about. And these are things that I'm kind of experiencing. So. Mentioning this was the album that I've been kind of listening to, and we'll play it after the service as well. Chris, last week, you know, who's on the teaching staff, taught about Peter, and last week, and how Peter stepped out to meet Jesus in the midst of the storm and picked him up out of the water. And this is the picture here, and I really like this picture because it illustrates very well what I'm going to be communicating to you this morning. And it, for me, it's the way I feel sometimes. I'm like stuck in the water and there's someone needs to pull me out. Maybe you feel that way sometimes. And all around me is turmoil. And it's kind of rotates around me like I'm in the eye of a storm. And that could be, for me, that could be sickness, my own health, or Janelle's sickness, or for our my job, how the church is doing, maybe something that you guys are going through. Those things all affect me. And in the midst of this turmoil is where I felt I really experienced the peace of God. And that's where it actually, you will experience it. And as we talk through this, I don't pretend to have mastered this or got it figured out, but I'm going to share where my journey has taken me so far. And so I have, these are the things we're going to cover, and is stepping into the storm, living in that, midst of that, and maybe some 10 practical truths, which is what it passed out in the bulletins today. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for how you are there with us in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the turmoil, while everything is going crazy around us. There, and you're picking us up, you're pulling us up, you're with us. You said we would be held. You didn't promise there wouldn't be any turmoil, but you said we would be held. You would grab us, you would be there with us, as we're going to share this morning. And just ask that for each of us in the turmoil that we're in, you would speak specifically to us. As I continue, I want you to think about, and this won't be very difficult, for the current turmoil you're in. I know some of you are in pain even now. You're in turmoil. There is maybe horrible things going on. There is difficulty. There is challenges, maybe in your job. Maybe there's health issues. Maybe there's whatever it might be. Some of them I know about, some of them I don't. Maybe it's a hurdle you have to overcome. And it seems like there's a hurricane in your life. And we experienced a lot of those this summer. Literally, this country did, but also in our own lives. And so I wanted to talk about, and you'll have to turn to your Bibles for this, and you can turn to your electronic Bible or the Bible that's in your pew. But I'm going to read from Matthew 14 primarily. This is the story that Chris talked about in brief. And so I'll just read the verses first from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 29. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear, and immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter, who we learned about last week, being Peter, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you out on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. So what does that mean for us specifically? This event, in my opinion, demonstrates demonstrates two similar times in our lives, or maybe multiple times in our lives, that when we encounter Jesus. And you can parallel this however you wish in your own life, but Peter says, "Lord, if it is you," when he says that, "command me to come out where you are." For me, this is similar to first placing my trust in the Lord and saying, "Lord, I want to be doing your work. I want to go out there with you. I want to be where you are. I want to be out on the water, walking on the water. I want to do the things you're doing. I want to be with you." Maybe that was during a conference. For me, I kind of picture back to, we were listening to Jim McOtter, who was one of the founders of the movement, just talking about, get out there, we're together, are you for Jesus? Are you going to follow 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 Jesus? And we're all holding hands and we're saying, yes, we're going to follow Jesus. That for me is a pinnacle point, because that was when I really chose to do that. I wanted to go out under the water. "If you really are my Savior, I want to be where you are." I made several choices like that to go out on the water with Jesus. Getting involved with MSU, first becoming a Christian, getting out on the water and going, getting involved with MSU Bible study, sharing the gospel on campus for the first time, going to Washington, D.C. to start a political campaign for this movement, coming to Chicago, becoming a pastor, giving for this building, going to Nicaragua. Those are all, for me, points where I said, I'm going to want to be where you are. We all have stories like this, stories yet to come for some of us. But here's the thing. Where Jesus is, where he commands us to go, is in the water. It's in the turmoil. It's like you're in the storm. Yeah, you're walking on water, but this water is kind of tumultuous. Is that right? Yeah. Very wildly. Real crazy. If you go out there in the world marching for Jesus, with Jesus, everything will be strawberry fields forever. And it just isn't. If you choose to walk out onto the water with Jesus, remember, the water is in turmoil. Americans think of the American dream. Some have been sold that following Jesus means prosperity, or a pain-free life if you follow him correctly. my understanding of Scripture, my experience, and what Jesus said is that this life may be harder if you follow Jesus. That's the fact. That's been my experience, and I think that's true. One verse that comes, just one of many verses. 2 Timothy says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Certainly, as we learned from Chris 2 weeks ago, the disciples, either they completely missed the boat on what Jesus was about, or they followed him fully. Almost all of them were martyred, right? So, did they have their best life now? I think so, because they followed him. They went out onto the water and followed him. I know that I must go where he sends me, but where he is, that is where the downtrodden are, where the pain and where the suffering is, that is where he is. And that is where he's asking us to step out on. That's where I decided to step out on. That is stepping out into the storm. You may walk on water, but the water is rough and full of turmoil, as we said. But that is where Jesus is. If we really want to be with him, that's where it's at. So if you find yourself there, things may be as they should. Sometimes I think I look at that, I go, wow, if there's all this turmoil, there's things going wrong in my life, what's the first thing you think? It's the same argument that Job went through. There's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with God. And maybe neither are true. So now you're in the eye of the storm with Jesus, right where you belong. And it's not very comfortable. So, what's it like to be there with Jesus in the middle? So let's continue. This is Matthew 14, starting in verse 30. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. So Jesus gets frightened by the storm and loses his courage and begins to doubt. Sound familiar? He was with Jesus, but he looks at what's going on around him. There's the storm, and he becomes afraid. This is where I can get afraid. I look at the storm swirling around me. There's all this stuff happening. There's people in pain. I'm in pain. There's people maybe leaving the church. There's people coming into the church. There's people that are sad. There's people that are happy. There's all this stuff happening. And it seems to be out of my control. And I look at it swirling around me. And that's when I start to sing. I go, Lord, save me. Does that sound familiar? And we reach up. And I like this picture particularly because he's got him. He grabs him by the hand. Like pulls him up. I would like to see that. It's like, does he pull up like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like that? Or gently? How it goes. I can focus on the strength of the wind and the water and the waves and take my eye off of the creator of those things. And that is when I start looking at my own resources, other experts, the circumstances, and I act accordingly or choose accordingly or react emotionally to those things. I get afraid and start to sink into the turmoil. I am enveloped by my own fear and anxiety and just can't move, and I start to sink into it. Then I cry to Jesus and he pulls me up. But does the turmoil stop? No, it's still there. Now later on, Jesus can stop it. He does stop it in this story. He can do it. But this point is where his peace is. That's the thing that I realized. When I cry to Jesus, he pulls me up. But the turmoil doesn't stop, but his peace begins. He's got me, and he will not let me go. He promises he will not let go. He's got you too. He promises that, and he will not let go. Do you know what? When I really experienced that, when I really experience his peace is in the middle of the storm, in the eye of the storm. That's when I really feel it. Because if everything's fine, I don't need that. But when it's not, I really need it. That's when I really experience it. Not when the things are fine and dandy, but when there's a storm in my life. Several times this storm metaphor is used as kind of for turmoil. In Ephesians 4:14, it says, in relation to being misled by the wind and the waves and a false doctrine and the trickery of men, the idea that those, the turmoil, can take you away. In Matthew 7, it compares the story of two houses. One is built on sandy soil, the other is built on the rock, which is God's word. And the one that, when the storm came, what happened to the house that was on sandy soil? Oh, I love that. It was wiped out, but the one on the rock stood. In Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, labors in vain at all who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. I liken the peace of the Lord to being in the eye of the hurricane. What happens and what happens there? What happens in the, what's actually in the eye of a hurricane when you're actually, we saw this on Weather Channel yesterday. What's, when this, you know how they warn you, says when the hurricane comes in, what is it? Calm. It's calm, right? The storm comes through and then there's the eye, and they warn people often. They say, don't think it's over, you know, because the second part's coming. But when you're in the eye, it's like, can actually be sunny, right? Because there's this eye, the clouds are open above. And there's all around, completely circling that point, is the hurricane, is the thing that's ripping houses and trees and everything, ripping the land apart. And that's kind of where I thought, this is a good illustration of where I feel like I am sometimes. So we're in the eye of the storm, but that is where the Lord is. That's where his peace is. He doesn't say that he's necessarily that the storm's going to be gone, but he says, I'm going to be with you there. He just picked up Peter. He picks up in the midst of the storm, and he can make it all go away, right? But sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. Because I think that's when he gets the greatest glory. Our faith is that it doesn't matter whether the storm's there or not. Our faith is that he is there with us. That's the, that's the critical, and he's not letting us go. And that's the picture I'd like you to think about when, for the moment, as we kind of turn, I'm going to talk about now 10 practical things based on 10 songs that have verses that are based on verses. And 10 practical truths for these verses, and that's your insert. Why don't you pull that out? And these are based on this song by David Balash, but it's all about this subject. All about the subject. Now, what I did was I gave you the verse, the title, and the truth that has comes out of that. What I didn't give you was what to do about it, and I'm going to tell you that. But I'd like you to write that down, because if I just give it to you, you don't write it down, you may not remember it. So I'd like, if you want to do this, I would recommend that you write down what the action is. So there's going to be, the thing I want you to focus on is the verse, what the truth is, and what the action is. So, here we go. So we'll go with the first one. And this is the song we sang last week. It's based on Psalm 55. And the verse is this. I'll read you the verses. 55, 16 through 17. It says, but as for me, I shall call upon Lord, and the Lord, upon God, excuse me, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he hears my voice. And this, we also sing this as a song in the New American Standard. The truth here is that the Lord hears me all the time. In fact, I'm going through a devotional about prayer, and because of this verse, it was Tim Keller's book, Praying, and he says one of the things he changed in his life was that he didn't just pray in the morning, but he prayed morning and evening based on this verse. And it really changed life. Now he sees it as continuous prayer. And he understood that the Lord hears him all the time. It isn't just like, well, in the morning he hears me, but then I change my attitude and I become something else. I just, you know, do my thing and the rest of the day. Pray all the time. And so the action here is pray all the time, morning, noon, and night. Take maybe, rather than trying to cut out a whole hour and a half or whatever you're doing, you could do that, but also maybe 10 minutes or 5 minutes, you know, at lunchtime or at in the evening. And I've started to do this myself, and it does make a difference. It really does make a difference. And I, knowing that he hears me, remember, the truth is, the Lord hears me at all times. He's always with me. And the action is, we could be praying for him. We could be that's kind of like this, reaching out. I'm in the midst of the storm, and I'm reaching out for him. You know, if you want help, you got to ask him. Here's another truth, number two. Nothing can separate. The verse here is based on Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The truth here is pretty obvious. It's, I cannot be separated from the Lord. I cannot. Nothing, including myself, can do that. The verse is very, very clear. Angels or rulers, heights or depths, ourselves. Often I meet Christians that are very concerned that they've somehow done something so badly that they've really, really, God doesn't want to talk to them. God isn't interested in them. The door is closed and they can't go to him anymore because they're too embarrassed. Neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor anything else. I cannot be separated from the Lord. And the action here that you could write down is, you could just write this down. Thank him that he's got you. Thank you that he's not let you go. Realizing that truth, no matter what the storm is doing, all this turmoil that's in your life, whether it's your health or it's your job or it's that mean boss, that relationship you're in, no matter what the storm is doing, he is not letting go. And that's why I like this picture. It doesn't look like Jesus is going to let go. Not letting go of you. He wants you bad. He is not letting go. He is not letting go. He's not letting go. Nothing can separate. Nothing can separate you. And when it's all getting crazy in your life, nothing can separate you. You cannot be separated. Number three. Come to me. And there are several verses here. And I think this is a mistake sometimes we do ourselves, and certainly I do, is that I think I can do it myself. Turmoil? Watch out. Greg Stanger's coming. I'm going to let you have it. And, boy, that doesn't work. Some verses, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, says, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalm 4:8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Proverbs 3:24, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And I really liked this verse because I don't know about you, but there are times I have a lot of trouble sleeping, or I'm getting up in the middle of the night. I think some of it is, you know, my blood pressure medication, but it really drives you crazy if you can't sleep, and you're like, sleep really hard. That doesn't help me sleep. But I wake up, and there's all this stuff in my head, and I don't feel like my sleep is sweet, and so that was one of the, for me, this was one of my things with the Lord that I fought over. It's like, Lord, it's not very sweet. It's kind of bitter. You know, sometimes I don't, just going to bed is a, torturous. But when I started to feel this, like, Lord, you promised, you said, you'll be with me. You're with me. You're with me. You're with me. And you say, come to me. So, last verse here, Psalm 127:2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So, a lot of times is, I think even early on in my life, I would work, and be anxious about the work, and make sure that it gets done, and so on. And it really was burning me up, because I thought I could do it myself. And so this idea of getting rest from him was new. This idea is like, well, you go to sleep, and it's sleep that you sleep in, right? You know, you just do that yourself. But this idea that he gives rest, that he gives comfort even while I'm sleeping, is kind of new. Was new to me. So the truth here is he gives rest to those who come to him. So is the action here is go to him. So in prayer, we talked about prayer earlier, and we talked about being with him and coming to him and being at rest. And I thought, wow, is my rest sweet? Is my sleep sweet? And so I thought about, even when I'm waking up in the middle of the night, I said, I'm just going to go to him. Lord, obviously you want me to talk to you, well, let's do something. And then I found that I was able to sleep a little better. And that's definitely helped. But the thing here that I want you to come away with is come to me, not only for sleep, but come to him if there's turmoil all around us, right? So our tendency is, when things get rough, when things get tough, we tend to go not to God. We tend to go things that medicate us, which is where it could be video games or electronics and TV or food or shopping or whatever it is. And some of you know what your thing is, right? And that's not necessarily wrong, those things by themselves. It's when we're looking to those things to take us out of the turmoil. We're looking to those things to grab us and take us out. And it feels for the moment that they are, but all it is a distraction. So it's really just putting blinders on. We're just putting blinders over our eyes and say, well, if I can't see it, it isn't there. Really, it's just our mind is distracted with something else, like Lamaze glass. Right? It's very effective. It's distraction, such that you don't think about what's really going on around you. But this is dealing with, this is actually going to the Lord, the one that is there with you in the midst of the turmoil, instead of going to those other things, because they won't provide sweet sleep. They won't provide the peace of God. You can't get the peace of God from video games. You cannot get the peace of God from television. You can't get it from those things. If you're looking for that, you have to go to him for it. You must go to him for it. He's the one that has it. He's the one that provides it. So if you really want to be at peace in the midst of the storm, you need to go to him. And that, what I mean go to him is go to him in prayer. And talk to him about these things. And talk to him about it often. And that's where you'll find his peace. That's because he's with you. We already said, he's with you. We can't be separated. He will hear you. And I'm saying, go to him. All right, number four. Psalm 23:1-6. You're very familiar with this. This is sometimes read at funerals, though I don't like to scare you with that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, this is David. David's psalm. This is one of the more famous psalms. He said, and the truth here is, he protects me in the midst of the storm. He has the power to do it. And the action here is get restored. Get restored. Get refreshed. Get refreshed. Go to that eye of the storm. You're there anyway. Go get restored. Allow him to restore you. If you have turmoil inside, get restored. Give it to Him. You even say, Lord, I'm just stressed out. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling fear. I'm feeling like You're not with me. Lord, let Him take that. Just bring it before Him. Say, Lord, take this away. Take this. I don't want it. Get restored. It's kind of like, it reminds me of a garden. Like you go to, you ever go to a nice, beautiful garden? Do you feel like stressed out about that? No, it just brings calm, peace and calm. So when I think of green pastures, I can't think of that. Number five is those who hope. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And there are times, particularly as you get older, you feel like, I'm a runner, I like to run, and I'm finding it more and more difficult to run for very long. And things stop working, like my legs and my feet. And but He promises here He's going to give strength, not necessarily for running, but strength to keep going. Strength when we need it, and we'll look like we have strength that seems to come from nowhere. He renews us in our strength. And our action here is, don't trust in your own strength. This is something I need to learn, is I tend to trust in my own strength. But go to Him in weakness. Don't trust in your own strength, but go to Him in weakness. It's okay to be weak. That's when He's glorified. He says, though we are weak, He is strong. Right? Though we are weak, He is strong. Do not trust in your own strength. Go to Him in weakness. He gives strength to you. Number six, lead me to the rock. Hear my cry. This is Psalm 61, 1 through 8. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint or overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. The truth here is, He is a strong sanctuary. When I am being attacked or feel burdened, is the action here is read His word daily. And if this is not something that is in your life now, I suggest that you put it in your life. Read your word daily. Now we have electronics that can tell us when to read the word and what to read. So this is pretty easy. We're in a country that you have full access to God's word. Utilize it. Remember what I talked about before? That is the rock you build your house on. If you build it on anything else, it's like building it on sand. Read His word daily. If you're not doing that, don't come to me and ask me, what does God want me to do? He wants you to do this, at least. He says that. He commands it. That is something that needs to be a part of your life if you want to be, if you're a Christian. Number seven, groanings too deep for words. This is from Romans 8, 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He searches hearts, knowing what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The truth here is, we can't even think, we can't even think straight. You ever been so weary, down, turmoil, you can't think straight? I don't even know. I know I should be praying right now, but I don't know. Just wiped out, you're burned out, or you're so beat up that you feel like you can't even move anymore. When we can't think straight, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in ways we can't imagine. I think that's true. And one thing you can do is just say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. You're going to do it for me because I can't even pray. And He says He'll intercede for you. That's the kind of help. When that's a really great place to be. I know that sounds terrible, but it is a great place to be. That's when you're fully weak. You're just like, Lord, I'm sinking in the water. I can't. I don't know if Peter could swim. I assume he could. But it was stormy out in the middle of this great water, probably not going to survive by himself. But Jesus has got him. And this is another way. He says he sends a helper. Let's utilize the helper. Number 8, as a father carries his son. So this is in Deuteronomy 1:29-31. Then I said to you, do not be dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. The truth here is the Lord fights for you and carries you all the way. It's not just he's there now and then later he won't be. He's with you all the way. And allow the action is here. Allow yourself to be carried. That's something that I struggle with too. I want to do it myself. I don't need God to carry me. But really, he is anyway, whether you want to or not. So allow him to take your burdens. That's similar to whatever fears you have. What are your burdens? Allow him to carry those. Give those to him, you know, in your time alone with him. Number 9, the peace of God. And this is, there are two verses I like here. And the peace of God, Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or he'll show you which path. The truth here is his peace guards and protects you in the midst of the storm in a way that is beyond the world's understanding. And it doesn't seem to make sense, but the reason he does it that way is for his glory, so that we're in the midst of it, when maybe we're going to be persecuted, we'll have his peace. Maybe when somebody goes, I can't believe that you're just, you know, you're going through all this stuff, and yet you seem like you're totally calm. What do you got there? People want to know. It's for his glory. Action. Give him the glory and ask him for direction in the midst of his peace. When you don't know what to do, well, ask. Proverbs 16 says a couple places. It says, the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. All right, last one here. My help comes from the Lord, which we would agree with. Fear not, in Isaiah 41, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am God. And then Psalm 121, this is also a song. I lift up my eyes to the hills or the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. The truth here is he is God. He is your God. He is your help and no other. And the action here is praise him with thanksgiving, not just during the holiday. Honor him as your God in all that you do. And this, that is part of receiving that peace from him, is recognizing, where does your help come from? It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from experts. It doesn't come from anyone else. It comes from him, him alone. So we kind of ran through these a little more quickly, just because we're running out of time. But I want you to take those home and really think about it. What are these practical truths? And maybe apply them to your life. I would apply them to your life. And finally, think about this. In John 16, it says, I have said, this is Jesus talking, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. So he doesn't say that you may have peace and never will anything happen ever bad again. That's just not true. You will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you've overcome the world, that we could be at peace in the midst of the turmoil, in the middle of the hurricane. You are there. You've got us by the arm. You've got us, and you're not letting go. Lord, help us to come to you. Help us to understand your green pastures. Help us to really receive the peace that you have for us. Help me to receive it. There are times where I don't get it. I just don't get it. I wanted taught for a long time, you got to do things yourself. I can't do it myself, and I barely survive, Lord, but I want to be on the water with you, serving you, and that's where there's turmoil. Lord, and I just ask for each one of us, you help us to experience your peace this week.
to God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night I cry out, cry out. I will call to God, and the Lord will rescue me. I cry out in my distress.